I'm sure we all recognize this morning that Jesus is here. His presence is manifest to us when the brother got up and said, I know there are more prayers and times of praise and worship and yet time constraints. I thought, no time constraints. We need to give the Lord as much time as He needs. And as He begins to pour out His Spirit upon us, as He has done this morning, there's a purpose for that. He doesn't just pour out His Spirit and manifest His presence and minister to us in our inner being for no reason at all. He wants to equip us and strengthen us. That's why He ministers to us the way He does, because He wants to strengthen with might by His Spirit in our inner being. And as we just open our hearts to Him, the King of Glory comes in. The psalmist said, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. And as we open our gates, as we open our hearts and our souls, the King of Glory comes in. And we've enjoyed that this morning.
And
the Lord wants to continue to come in. He wants to continue to manifest Himself. All day. All day tomorrow. Every day. As our brother said, when we go home. The Lord wants there to be an increase of the glory manifest in our lives. All to the praise and glory and honor of His name. If you were here yesterday in the morning, we talked about living a holy life. You cannot live a holy life without the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And without that, it's not possible that we can be different from this world. The power that we need is in the power of the Spirit of God. I'm sure that most of us, if not all that were here yesterday, desire to live a holy life. We want to be separate from the world. We want to be altogether His. But in order for that to take place, we need to be filled with God, with His Spirit. We read that we are to walk in the Spirit, and as we do, then we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you live in the flesh, you will die. But if we, by the Spirit, put to death those deeds of the flesh, then we're going to live. Then our lifestyle will be a holy lifestyle that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And that is our reasonable act of service or spiritual worship. So the hindrance to a holy life is maybe not within our desire or our will. But the problem that we encounter is this flesh of ours. And the flesh and the spirit war against one another. We have that taught to us in so many places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, we have Amalek as a picture of the flesh.
And
I'm not going to go through the stories of the Old Testament except to say that at the end of Exodus 17, you read that God's people will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Well,
God wanted Amalek in the Old Testament to be destroyed. Amalek needed to be put to death. Saul was told to do that. Others were told, utterly destroy everything that pertains to Amalek. In our hearts, in our lives, there should be no vestige, no remnant of Amalek. God, by His Spirit, wants to conquer Amalek in us. That old nature, that flesh in us needs to die. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Now how could you die every day? You die once, don't you? It is appointed unto man once to die.
Well,
that's physically. Unless you're Lazarus or somebody else. But spiritually, we need to die to ourselves, to our flesh, to our old nature, every single day. In Galatians 2, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that's living anymore. I'm dead. But the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. And that's your call and my call. In order to live a holy life, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, don't live in the flesh, crucify that old man, crucify that which belongs to this earthly life. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said to his disciples, unless any man comes after me and takes up his cross daily, he cannot be my disciple. Every day there's a cross to take up. Every day I'm crucified. Every day I die to my own self. Not what I wish to be, not where I wish to go. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Jesus paid a price for you. He bought you with His precious blood. Redeemed you from the old vain traditions that you once lived according to. And has called you to live a holy life by the power of His Holy Spirit. So Lord, I'm going to put this off and I'm putting this off. When Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he said, now put this off, put this off, put this off. These things don't belong to you anymore. Get rid of them. Get a new wardrobe. The old clothes don't look good. All those things that we used to live in and things that we used to think about, no more. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live the way that He wants us to live. In ourselves, we can. We can do nothing. We look at the measuring rod. We see ourselves in the Word of God. And in ourselves, we only see failure. We fall short of the glory of God. We can't live the way that He wants us to live. For the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
靠着那加给我力量的，我凡事都能够。
How does he strengthen me?
他加我力量。
He strengthens me by the power of his spirit.
借着他的圣灵，他加我力量。
If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5?
若是早晨你们都有带圣经，我们一起来看以弗所书第五章。
I understand that this book of Ephesians is written to Christians.
以弗所书的对象呢是基督徒。
Earlier in the book, Paul says, "You have been quickened, you who were dead in trespass and sin."
他说你们这些死在罪恶过犯之中的人。
You used to walk according to the course of this world.
你们以前是按照今世的风俗在活。
There was no distinction, no holiness.
在你们的生活里是与别人没有区别，也没有神圣。
You did what everybody else did.
你做别人所做的事。
Your lifestyle and your value system was just what the world's lifestyle and value system is.
你的生活方式、你的价值观跟世界的人没有分别。
But God has quickened you.
但是神已经叫你出
了。God who is rich in mercy.
他充满了怜悯。
By grace you have been saved through faith.
因着他的恩典，借着信，你已经得救了。
It's the gift of God.
这是神给我们的礼物。
And so he goes on in the later chapters, and he says, now you have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called.
所以在这封书信的后面，他就讲到说，你们的行事为人要配得上所蒙的恩召。
There's a way to walk that pleases God.
所以呢，我们怎么样能够讨神喜悦呢？
There's a holy walk.
有一种叫做神圣的
生活 There's a holy life.
神圣的生活
And so don't lie to each other anymore. You've put that off.
比如说不要再向不要再彼此说谎把那个脱掉
No more foolish talk or jesting which are, no, rather giving of thanks.
不要再做那个无谓的抱怨乃要凡事谢恩
Paul says that there shouldn't be a hint of sexual immorality among you.
在你身上不可以有任何那个不洁净的行为淫乱的行为
That's all the old stuff. That's the old life.
那些都是你那个旧账
But now, by grace, you've been saved through faith.
但是因着恩典的信，你已经得救了。
Now live like it.
所以你活的就要像个得救的。
Don't just talk about it.
不要只是说说而已。
Don't just think about it or read about it. Live it.
不是想一想或读一读，乃是要活出这个新生命。
The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God.
我今天在肉身活着，是因信神的儿子。
The Bible always calls us to being, to doing, not just to thinking about it.
圣经招我们是要我们活出，要我们做出，而不只是思想而已。
And we desire that He live out His life within us.
我们的盼望就是主他的生命活出来。
I don't understand the Chinese prayers when you pray them.
你们刚才祷告的时候用中文，我一个字也听不懂。
I only understand the English ones.
我只听得懂英文的祷告。
And twice this morning in English, I heard it prayed.
今天早上我听到两次英文的祷告。
Lord, you have to increase, we have to decrease.
主啊，愿你兴旺，愿我衰微。
We need more of you and less of us.
我需要更多的你，更少的自己。
We want us to get out of the way. We want to be dead.
我们要向自己死，我们不要挡住你的路。
And we want you to come forth and grow in us and spread out your kingdom in our lives.
我需要你在我里面增长，叫你的国度在我的生活里显出。
That it would be no more I.But Christ.
再也不再是我，乃是基督。
And so now, when you get around to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul is telling us how this can be.
所以以弗所书第五章的时候，保罗就告诉我们这样的生活是一个怎么样的情形。
Let me begin reading with verse 15.
第十五节说到。
He says that be very careful how you live.
你们要谨慎行事。
And again, I only call your attention to the fact that it's not what we say, but it's how we live that God is interested in.
在这里讲说，你们要谨慎你们如何活着。
Be very careful how you live.
你们要非常谨慎你是如何活着的。
When you're in the office and when you're in your school, be very careful how you live.
在你的办公室，当你在学校里的时候。注意你是怎么活着的。
Don't just live any old way.
不要按照你的老我活着。
Don't just get the idea, well, I'll live what I want to live, and then I'll just ask the Lord to forgive me.
不要说我就照我的老我活着，然后我再求神赦免就好。
Paul said, how can we do that anymore?
那我们不能这样做。
How can we that are dead to sin live any longer in it?
保罗说我们怎能还在我们的罪恶的死亡里面活着呢？
The grace of God isn't an excuse for our sin. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness.
神的恩典是叫我们向我们自己死，而不是给我们借口活在旧老旧的里面。
To deny the worldly lusts and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present age.
要拒绝这个罪恶的时代，而要在神的恩典里过一个洁净的生活。
And that's for every one of you. Young and old. Doesn't matter who you are, God's call is the same for each of us. He wants to begin a good work in us.
And
then He wants to continue that work by His Spirit to sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. To preserve us unto the coming of the Lord. And Paul says, the one who's called you to that is faithful. You know, I like this part of the verse. It says, and He will do it. He will do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have to make my best effort. I'm going to try the best that I can, but I can't in myself do it. But the one who called me to be holy, He's able to do it. He's able to do it by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so stop saying, I can't do this. I just can't get rid of this thing. I just can't. Somebody said, I stopped saying I can't when I found out that He could. And He's able for every one of us. And He ascended on high and He sent the Holy Spirit. And He sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. To displace you. That Christ's life might be seen in you.
So
be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Here's another place where we can't get off the hook here either. I hear sometimes people say, oh, this, the world is too evil, it's so bad, how could you expect me to live such a good, holy life? There's too many temptations. And the devil's working overtime. And I just can't do it. It says in my Bible here that because the days are evil, that we should live like wise, not unwise.
And
I would suggest to you that it would be very, very wise for every one of you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then to live in the Holy Spirit. Do not be foolish, it says in verse 17. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you understand? I think you do, don't you? What the Lord's will is? Do you know the way that He wants you to live? I think we do. We don't have to go over everything that the Bible says. We'd be here all day. Don't be foolish. Understand what God wants. Understand His will for your life.
And
the next verse explains part of it to us. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to excess or riot, but be filled with the Spirit of God. I have never in my life been drunk. I have never even gotten close. But I've seen too many people that have been drunk. Pastoring a church in New York City for over 30 years, every once in a while you see people that are drunk. There's a man that lived across the street from our church, and I used to help him get back to his apartment. I'd often find him laying there right in front of his house or the doorstep to his apartment building. I'd return him back upstairs. His wife was there. She didn't know where he was, but here he is. He staggered in. Now, I can tell you a few things, not everything, but a few things about my observation when I see drunk people. I've noticed that they do not walk straight lines. They're all over the place. I think that's what the police do, or one of the things they do, and get out of the car, walk the straight line. Their answer may be something like this, not a problem, not a problem. No, I can walk a straight line, not a problem.
Well,
see, I don't know their blood alcohol level, but I can tell from the symptoms that they're drunk. Sometimes they don't think too clearly either. I was on the New York City subway one time and a drunk man walked in. And then, you know, on the New York City subway, when people like that come in, you just put your head down and mind your business. Then he started to pick on me. He walked over to me and said, you tried to trip me. My leg would have had to have been 20 feet long to trip him. He was so far away. I said, I didn't try to trip you. Yes, you did try to trip me. And people that have had too much alcohol or drink, they begin to talk different, walk different, and think different. And the more they have, the worse it becomes. Because that influence of alcohol gets into their whole system, permeates their whole being, and it affects the way they think, talk, and walk. Now, on the opposite side of that, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine where it has excess. But be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would like to fill my vessel. So that it affects the way that I live. It affects the way that I talk. It affects the way that I walk. It affects the way that I think. And the more of the Holy Spirit that is spread out in my life, the more under the influence of God I will be. And the more under the influence of God I am, the holier I will become. Now, is it possible for me to be holy as He is holy? I'm not there yet. I'm not even close. But I want to be. It's my desire to be like Jesus. To be just like He walked. I want to walk. Just the way He talked, I want to talk. Just the way that He thought, I want to think. And the Bible teaches us that that's possible for us. We can grow into that likeness of Jesus Christ more and more. But it's not because we've been in church for more and more years. It's not age appropriate sometimes, the way the growth takes place in our lives. But it's how much have we been able to drink? How much of God's Spirit have we come under the influence of? The book of James says the tongue.
雅各书说我们的舌头,
no man can tame the tongue. It's such a little member, but it's set on fire of hell. And what a great mess this tongue can get us into. Only the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can tame what I speak and what I say. Just like the drunk man can't control what comes out of his mouth and it's garbled and sometimes it's wrong. So, when the Holy Spirit puts a watch over our mouth, the psalmist prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let that be acceptable in your sight, Lord. How could that be without the Holy Spirit? How could I control this tongue without the Spirit of God controlling
it?
Perhaps that's why in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was initially poured out, people thought these guys were drunk. Look at the way they're acting. They must be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but they're drunk. Peter said, no, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's a different kind of influence that's come over them, and it's not alcohol. This is what Joel talked about way, way back in his book. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that.
This is what
Joel foresaw. This is now what you're experiencing. And we read that those men began to speak in new tongues. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were talking different languages. But whatever language it was, every one of them were proclaiming the wonderful works of
God.
Something got a hold of their tongue that had never gotten a hold of their tongue before. Their tongue was able to be used in ways that it had never been used before. That unruly member, that thing that couldn't be tamed or controlled, now was being controlled by the Holy Spirit and was glorifying God and praising God and worshiping Him. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Some of you have been down to any zoo, basically. You can see it, tamed animals. You've been to maybe SeaWorld, and you got out here in California. I think there's a SeaWorld in San Diego. I was to the one in Florida, and I saw people riding on the backs of orca whales. Telling the dolphins and the seals jump and what to do, and they would do it. I've seen parakeets, parrots, and parakeets ride roller skates. I've seen monkeys ride motorcycles. You can tame these animals, but not your tongue. But the Holy Spirit can. See, sometimes, maybe, perhaps, we haven't come under the influence enough because we haven't been drinking enough. We need more of Jesus. Not less of Jesus. Not I got enough on Sunday.
It was
a wonderful time we had half an hour ago. That'll take care of me for the month. Or maybe winter conference. I'll just do it on my own the rest of the time until next year. How dependent are we day by day by day to not only die to self, but to live in the Spirit? And we don't walk the way that we used to walk. We come under again the control of the Spirit of God. These feet don't go where they used to go. now we walk, as Ephesians says, walk worthy of the vocation that you've been called to. Now we walk in the Spirit. Now we walk the way that Jesus wants us to walk. Have we all come under the control of God's Spirit to that degree that we can say we only go the places, do the things that Father says? I only speak the things that Father tells me to speak. I only think the things that Father tells me to think. Every one of my thoughts is brought under captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I don't think anyone of us has ever gotten really to the fullness of the potential that there is. And we need to drink more. And we need to keep on drinking more. And so that we come under the greater control of God's Spirit. So that verse, that 18th verse, be filled with the Spirit, that phrase. In the original language, it's an imperative. It's a command. See, the Bible doesn't give us an option. Some people think being filled with the Spirit is like the extra. God regenerates us. We're born again by the Spirit of God. Unless God doesn't work by His Spirit in our hearts, we are none of His. So by His Spirit, He convicts us of our sin. By His Spirit, He draws us to Himself. By His Spirit, He changes our hearts and we're born again. When Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't teach you that. Well, then what taught him? Who taught him that?
Oh,
my Father in heaven taught you that. Well, how did Peter learn that from Father in heaven? Peter went up there and learned a lesson and came back down? No, the Holy Spirit. You were taught that by my Spirit. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But yet later on in Peter's life, we find that Peter needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hadn't there already been a work of the Spirit in Peter's life and heart? Hadn't there already been a work done by the Holy Spirit in Peter? Absolutely, there was. But what Peter needed was more. More of God. More of the Spirit of God. And that, again, is not an option. It's not, well, I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven and as long as I don't have to go to hell, that's all I care about. God has a lot more in store for you than just that. He saves you so that He can fill you, so that He can use you. Use you in ways to glorify Him. So it's a command for me, for you, for all of us. Be filled with the Spirit. Not a suggestion. A command. A command that I need to take from my commander seriously. When you join the army or navy or any armed force, and the commanding officer tells you to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because you're obedient to the commanding officer. And then at 9 o'clock in the morning he says, go peel potatoes in the kitchen. No, I don't want to do that. I was already obedient to you. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to go peel potatoes. But you had better listen to your commanding officer. If you don't, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to suffer the consequences. So we need to listen to our commanding officer. We want to please the one that has called us, Paul says to Timothy, to be a soldier. So whatever he says, we're going to do. And when he says you must be born again, we want to be born again. And when he says now you need to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And that is not only an imperative in the command tense, but it's also in the present continuous. So in English it would literally say this, be being filled with the Spirit. It's not I was filled with the Holy Spirit 2 years ago. But one time a preacher named D.L. Moody, maybe some of you have heard of his name. In the 1800s he was in New York and Chicago and he ministered to many people. And he pastored a church. And while he was in the church he would often pray. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And there was one lady in the congregation that didn't like that prayer. And finally she had enough of it. And she came to D.L. Moody after the service one day and she said to him, why do you always pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Haven't you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, why do you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, he was a great preacher and a very godly man and a theologian.
But
his response to her was rather practical. He said, the reason why I pray all the time to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because I leak. Do you leak? Do you need to replenish the
Spirit?
Do you need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yesterday was good, today's a new day. The psalmist said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The picture we had last night before us of that those vessels being filled with the oil. That oil just keeps on coming. Where does it come from? From God. And it just flows right down into every vessel. And as the oil is being burned, more oil is replenishing. And it just keeps going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a constant supply.
That's
why the apostle says, live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. And just one last thing about that verse, it's also in the passive voice. Again, last night we heard about welcoming Jesus. Welcome the Holy Spirit. That passive means allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. By your desire, by your faith, by your prayer. Reach out to receive. Ask and it shall be given you. Jesus said, everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, to him the door shall be opened. And if you know how to give good gifts to your children, you earthly fathers. But then how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask because, well, we want to be filled with the Spirit so we can be known as a person filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to become popular, important, or prominent. Jesus wants to fill you with the Spirit and get you out of the way. So that He can shine forth. So that He can be glorified. Oh, every one of us, thank God it's for you, for me, for all of us. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Take down the umbrella, open up the top, whichever way you want to look. Open up your soul, lift up those gates, open the doors, and the King of Glory will come in. And not yesterday, today, afresh, anew. Lord, enlarge my capacity. Spread out your kingdom in every part of my mind, my mouth, my hands, my feet, every part of
me.
Till I'm filled, and overflowing. Let me, in closing, just call your attention to just one aspect that the Lord Jesus Christ mentions about this. In the Bible, we find that this idea of drinking and receiving more and more water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And also, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it's very similar. They're different, but it's very similar. See, when I say this morning, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I can just as easily say, I want to be filled with Jesus. And when I say this morning, I want Jesus to come to me, what I'm really saying is, I want the Holy Spirit to come. In Exodus chapter 17, you read the children of Israel were running, roaming around through the wilderness. They were thirsty. They were complaining that Moses had taken them out just to die there in the wilderness. And then you remember how the Lord said to Moses, take that rod of yours. Go over to that rock. Strike that rock. And Moses did. And as he did, water came out of that rock. And the water that came out of the rock quenched the thirst of all the children of Israel. Every single one drank. They drank the water from that rock. In 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul says, and that rock that they drank from back there in Moses' day, that rock was Christ. And Jesus Christ can satisfy the thirsty soul. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah writes prophetically, you don't have any money, come and buy. Drink, take. Jesus offers himself. He offers himself to every individual. Every thirsty spirit. People that are looking all throughout this world for something to quench their thirst. And they try to find it in a bottle of liquor or something like that. They try to find it in pleasures of this world or the things that money can buy. And they find that doesn't satisfy. There's still a thirst within. Where am I going to get that thirst quenched? Well, it's that rock. It's Jesus. In John chapter 4, Jesus, it says, he needs to go through Samaria. And you know the story well, I'm sure. He met the woman sitting there by, or he was sitting at the well, and this woman came out.
That was
interesting to start with, because Jesus being a Jew and she being a Samaritan, and the two had no dealings with one another. And then Jesus engages her in a very natural, normal conversation. I'm thirsty, I'd like some water from that well. Would you draw some water for me? And as the conversation unfolded, Jesus then all of a sudden offered her something that she wasn't expecting. Jesus said, I'll give you living water. And if you drink that water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. Well, she went on to talk about where we worship and where you worship. Now, that lady had been looking for some satisfaction in her life. She hadn't been able to find it yet. And maybe there's one, two people here this morning that you've been looking for satisfaction in your life. She was looking for it in a relationship. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right about that. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. What was she trying to do? She was trying to quench the thirst within. She didn't know how to do that. She was probably trying the best that she could, thinking, this is what I need. I just have to find Mr. Right. But that's not what she needed. What she needed was Jesus. And Jesus wasn't going to force himself on this lady. He offered himself to her. He said to her, lady, if you... I'm sorry. You go first. Oh no, I go first. He said to her, if you knew the gift of God... If you knew who it was that was offering you this drink, then you would ask me. And if you asked me, I'd give to you living water. She didn't even know what she was getting into. She had no clue. What's living water? Seltzer? Carbonated beverage? Oh, living water. But finally she said to Jesus, give me this drink. Boom, that was it. That was all she needed to do was ask. Did you say something that I didn't say? Thank you. If you just knew and you just asked, now I'll give you that living water. And that water just became like a bubbling spring inside of this woman's heart and soul. She ran back to the city she came from and she said, I found a man and he's told me everything I've ever done. She didn't say it in a shameful way. She said it in he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful master. He's a wonderful savior. And the thing that I was looking for, I found. And then that lady said, everybody, come on, I want to bring you to this man. I want to show you who he is. And by the way that she talked and the way that she lived and the way that she just exemplified what she had just found within, people followed. She became a witness.
Yeah,
And others came too and were introduced to Jesus Christ. See, what that lady needed was Jesus to save her from her sin. She needed to drink the water that he would give. If there's anybody here this morning, and you're still hunting around and trying to find and looking, you're thinking right now, if I could only go to New York, that's probably where I'd find my satisfaction. You won't find it in New York, you won't find it any place in this world. What you're looking for is Jesus Christ. Jesus can satisfy the longing in your soul. And he's just waiting for you to ask him. Give me this drink. Give me yourself. I need you. I want you. And if you'd ask, he would give to you that
result.
But we read something else, and I'll close with this in John chapter 7. Jesus went on from there, and he finds himself at the feast. It was the last day of the feast, that great day. And there were some ceremonial rites that would go along with that festival, but we're going to leave that alone for now. And Jesus, it says, he took this water pot and he poured out some water. He stood in their midst. And he cried in a loud voice. If anyone is thirsty. See, again, notice the requisites. You have to ask. And he'll give. If you're thirsty. You don't have a thirst, then forget about it.
But
if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Let him drink of me. And the water that he drinks will become like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And if you drink and drink and drink, all of a sudden you'll find that there's a river that flows from you. You drink and you drink, and all of a sudden there's a leak. There's an outflow of living water that issues forth from you. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And then Jesus said, this he spoke, or it says in the Bible, this he spoke about the Spirit that had not yet come, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. We're living today in times where the Spirit has come. The Comforter has come. The Father's promise has been given. Spread the tidings around wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit of God has come down to dwell not just with us, but within us. So that where we go, at work, at home, at school, wherever we find ourselves, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This world is thirsty. It's parched, it needs something to drink. People look for satisfaction, craving, longing for something that will satisfy the soul. And what the world needs is Jesus. And you and I have been called to be witnesses for him in our Jerusalem, right where you come from, right in Culver City, right in San Gabriel or wherever. and then the surrounding areas,
还有你四周的城市,
and then to the uttermost parts of the world. How does that happen?
怎么样做呢?
Drink enough. Just say, Lord, give me the strength.
跟主说,
I'm thirsty, Lord, I'm thirsty.
主啊,我干渴,
oh, like the deer pants after the water, but so panted my soul after the
old water.
And the more you drink,
你越领于主,
the more of Christ will be in you.
那主就越多在我们里面,
the more of His influence over your life, the more you'll think like Him.
就越来思想,
talk like Him.
你的说话越来越像他,
walk the way He wants you to walk.
你的行为举止越来越像他,
your lifestyle will become holy.
你的生活方式就开始有一个神圣的气息,
and he will be honored and glorified.
那神就因着我们得荣耀。
The last invitation in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
在这里说,
let him that is thirsty,
来口渴的人,
let him come.
也当来,
let him come and take the free gift
of
the water of life. Brothers and sisters, there is a river flowing through this meeting this morning. Ever since the beginning of the communion time, the breaking of bread, there has been like a river that flows. And I think there are those of you here that notice that. And as we partook of that which represents His broken body, the blood that He shed
for us.
Jesus drew near.
He
condescended right to where we are. There must be thirsty, hungry hearts. There must be those that want the free gift of the water of life. You've tasted, you've seen that the Lord is good, but now you want more. And throughout the time of worship and praise and singing, glorifying Him, God is pouring out His Spirit. Drink. Drink. Take the free gift. Say, Lord, give me this water. Give me this strength. I'm thirsty for you. Fill up my cup, Lord. Let there be an overflow. Let out of my life rivers flow. It's His invitation. He invited you to be holy. He invited you to come and take the free gift. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Lord, thank you not only for your calling, but we thank you for your enablement. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. More and more and more. Lord, let there be a continual inflow. And may there be a continual outflow. That those of us that believe, Lord, may we receive. And out of our innermost being, we pray, dear Jesus, there would be a flow of living water. Lord, we don't just come together at times like this to just enjoy ourselves. We come together at times like this for you to have an opportunity to change us. For you to work in us. For you to increase that we might decrease. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come to every one of us this morning. Throughout this day, we pray, Jesus, that we would live in your Holy Spirit. And enjoy fellowship with you. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Could we turn together to that song we sang earlier, 254?
254首.
254首.